Sony might be ushering in a new normal of direct sales and delivery with their announcement that they will be handing out golden tickets to players allowed to purchase a PS5. The unstated goal of this is to link purchases to unique players and keep machines out of the hands of scalpers, since supply is chronically short as it is. But will retailers feel slighted anyway?
Yeah, pretty likely.
This is one story in a varied night. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, to tell you more about this and the rest of the week's gaming news. Starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are back once again with episode number 888 of our show for tonight, October the 17th of 2021. My name is Rob Roberts, and I'm going to do a rushed intro here. My co-hosts, Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers?
Hi.
Hi, and Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hello. We're getting a little bit of a late start tonight. For the folks on the podcast feed, it's a normal week, whatever. For those that are watching live tonight, we're getting a little bit of a late start. It's actually closer to, 6:35 Pacific time where we're located, 9:35 for those of you on the East Coast. We do tape live, of course, every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOGNetwork, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And usually we start about 6 Pacific, 9 Eastern. But what happened is right about 5:45 our time, I got hit with a power outage here at OLR headquarters where, you know, we used to gather in person before the pandemic and all that stuff. And obviously, since the broadcasting stuff is here, if there's no power, we can't do a show. So I hastily tried to text Bobby, let him know what was going on. Usually I would like try to watch, but the cell tower, I think, got taken out too, because my signal was terrible. So that part was really unfortunate, but we got through it. We're here now. We're just a little delayed. So thank you very much to our pal Bobby Blackwolf, who was coming back from being gone due to a medical thing for the past couple weeks and ended up doing a jumbo show tonight. So thank you, Bobby, for vamping a little bit for us. And I'm glad we all could be here and actually do a show. And hi to everybody in chat. She-Hulk10 in chat says, better late than never. Yes, I suppose that is the case. Or as the Golden Girls say, better late than pregnant. So there you go. Anyhow, also, I also noticed just now in our chat live, they just hit that goal for Orange Lounge Foodio. So guess what, guys? We get to do a special episode all about food. And we'll do that in the coming weeks. You guys hit that a lot sooner than we expected it to happen. So that show's actually probably going to happen in early, mid-November, just because there's a lot of stuff going on, and we're not going to be here. We're definitely not going to be here next week. I am not going to be here because I am going to L.A. Dark Soccer is also going out of town.
I can talk about it.
Okay. I didn't want to put you on the spot, but if you're volunteering, please talk about it.
So last week, I'm sure a lot of you know that I was talking about doing a marathon to raise money for my friend Barbara's GoFundMe. She'd just been diagnosed with cancer, just started chemotherapy. And partway through the marathon, which was on Monday, I did get a message from her wife, her partner, that that she died. She was going into the hospital for sepsis as a reaction to the chemotherapy. It had to do with how it actually, I think more had to do with the immunosuppressants, but she died. And I was like, well, do you need me to call? Do you need me to do anything? I'd like to be there for you. And she's like, nope, keep doing the marathon. We now need the money to pay for the funeral. I'm floored about it. And so, Tiara and I, which I'm sure some of our long-term listeners here, know Tiara and Maggie actually did sing something that we played on the show. She did a cover of, Bang Bang, like from people more know it maybe from, Kill Bill.
Yeah. That's like the early OLR years. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going out to see her and to be there for the memorial. We're both doing like a Thursday night red eye and hoping to make the memorial on time. I'm super depressed. Barbara was my papa-san and Maggie is my mama-san, and they both mean the universe to me, and Barbara went really, really fast. And I suppose there's the part of me that's trying to be all logical and say it was better fast than long and drawn out and painful. And at the same time, Barbara was a fighter, and I expected, I don't know what I expected really, because life is completely stupid. It just happens. It happens when you don't expect it. And which just makes me all the more want to tell our listeners, you know, my friends, everybody, how much I love all of you, and that the world is a great place to have you in it. And well, fuck cancer. Fuck it. It's terrible. Logically know there will never be a cure for it, because cancer in and of itself is a series of mutations. That's not going to happen.
Go ahead.
I would encourage everybody, if you can, find a reputable charity that's doing actual cancer research and not just merchandising stuff, donate. And I didn't want to use the show for this, but if you can spare something for my friend's funeral expenses, talk to me offline and I'll let you know.
And it's I don't think anyone cares that you're using the show for that, because anyone that's talked to you for a reasonable length of time, especially, you know, right after you moved here from, you know, Alabama, knows how important these folks were to you. So I'm truly sorry that this happened. And yeah, it certainly puts a lot in perspective of a silly power outage delaying our show. But there's much bigger things. And you're right. When something like this happens, it happens, and there's just not a lot we can do sometimes. So thank you for sharing the story with us and the marathon, at least when I was finally able to see it. So I guess trying to go back to less difficult topics, the power outage thing tonight was especially frustrating, because Monday when you were doing your marathon, we had a power outage here again, and I don't know why all of a sudden there's all these power outages. Somebody on Twitter had asked me, oh, is it because California? It has nothing to do with what you're hearing in the media about wildfires and all that stuff. That's another company, PG&E, that doesn't service where we are in Sacramento. Sacramento has their own utility, and it's nothing to do with any of that. I really don't know why all of a sudden like power outages are a problem this week. I think
you keep
it is
driving into the power poles.
I think it is weather related, because Monday we did have a really bad wind storm, and now it's windy outside again tonight, and rain is supposed to come in. So I think it's just because the last 9 months, 10 months have been so dry, it's causing the windstorm to knock more stuff over. And I think, you know, you had it happen in one area on Monday and you had it happen here tonight. But when I was trying to participate in Dark Soccer's marathon, we lost power for... It was from noon until 10:30, so we were out of power for 10 hours. So that means our food in the fridge, after we had just gone to Costco, had to replace it. That's not irritating or anything. And yes, I know there's ways to get insurance and stuff, but it's still the process is still a pain in the ass. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Welcome to life in a hurricane.
Yeah, right. But
seriously, no. Would keep multiple coolers on hand and buy all the ice just for stuff like that.
But I remind people of this a lot, you know, especially, you know, because I hear it a lot. When it does rain here in California, everybody from back east will say, that's not a rainstorm. That's nothing. You don't know what real rain is. Well, I know. But the problem is that it's not built out here for that. And that's what it is, because the weather is a certain way out here that places are not built that way. It's the same reason you don't see brick homes here, because earthquakes can happen in California. So we don't have brick homes. Like it's just things are built a certain way because of whatever natural disasters are tending to occur. Well, so we're not set up for these hurricanes and multiple power outages.
You know about the story of Disney World, right?
Which one?
They tried to build... Disney World like Disneyland,
mm-hmm.
and it mildewed and started falling apart because of the humidity.
Yeah.
So when I moved out here and I saw how things were constructed, I'm like, excuse me, what? No, weather's going to sneeze and this will all fall over. And then, like, I wouldn't go out on a wooden balcony for like 3 years after I moved out here.
Sure.
But no.
Yeah. But now it's like, well, that's just, it works here. It's fine. We don't, until, you know, the last 10 years or so, as climate change has been having its impact, those sorts of things are whatever. But anyway, we could go down a very big rabbit hole there, but we're already getting a late start tonight. So I suppose we should shift the topic to something that often takes our minds off of things and the other bad things going on in the world, and that is video games. So let's get into our kickoff topic tonight, which has to do with perhaps the future of games of some sort, or what some people want those to be anyway. Loki, can you start us off with tonight's story about what Steam's going to be blocking from their marketplace pretty soon? I guess, as they have already, I guess.
I mean, yeah, they've already done it. So they had blocked a few games that had NFTs or offered crypto in them. And the reason that they did this, and it makes sense when you think about it, is they've gotten in trouble before with offering items in-game and having kind of an auction house where you could potentially sell those in-game items for real-world cash. And so since they've gotten in trouble, I believe, in like the European unions and stuff like that with that, they have been basically knocking down anything that could be potentially used to give you something of value from, you know, unlocks in games and stuff like that. So NFTs, of course, because you could trade them for money, and Bitcoin, well, I mean, that's self-explanatory. You can also trade that for money. And so they have gone ahead and removed the games that had that in there. Like, for example, Light Knight and Age of Rust was a game that they had NFTs where you could actually kind of buy the NFT and use it to unlock stuff in-game or something like that. And then there was another game, I don't remember which one it was. It was like a puzzle game where you got Bitcoin if you completed the puzzle or something like that. So,
yeah, look,
it makes sense.
Look, when we're talking about Bitcoin or whatever, like I'm not going to dog on it or whatever. I understand people have their environmental concerns, et cetera. But I from the perspective of trying to critique what's going on here, I'm putting Bitcoin on the same level as dollars, pesos, yen, whatever currency. It has some sort of value in the monetary universe, whether it does to you specifically or not. It does have value in the universe. I mean, PayPal has Bitcoin now, so it's something you can get value out of.
Right.
But
NFTs are kind of a gray area as well, because there's been so many scams recently with those. And like necessarily Bitcoin, but like other cryptocurrencies, there's been so many pump and dump schemes.
And here's the thing, like as far as like the real world currency in games, Diablo 3 and what it originally was and why it had so many issues in the beginning with the real money auctions, that should be informing everybody that gaming is not the place for this. And like everybody wants to put a get rich quick scheme in gaming, Diablo 3 showed ain't going to happen. And I know people think, oh, this is different. No. The problem is you're always going to have way too much supply and not enough demand, period. Because what's going to happen is that if it turns out you can earn even the slightest amount of Bitcoin, you're going to have other places throughout the world that have very questionable labor practices that are going to force people to play these games over and over and over again to get these items to sell to those few people that are going to buy them.
And I don't think that they're giving away Bitcoin in that sense where it's like an un, unlimited supply. I think it's more of like kind of an incentive, like a contest,
even,
almost.
Even the auction house, even the contest, they'll dump as many entries in the contest as they can. Even the auction house, they'll spam as much in that auction house as they can for those few people that can buy. Nobody ever made money off that auction house. It was that's why it went away.
Activision made money off of that auction.
I made a quarter. I made a quarter, and I don't even know how I did that, to be quite honest.
More on Steam than anything selling trading cards.
And now, as far as the NFT thing goes, I'm still trying to wrap. Like, I get Bitcoin. I get ? Bitcoin. I get Ethereum and all those other knockoff. I shouldn't call them knockoffs, but I'm sorry to me.
Yeah,
they're all the same to me. So. I get that. I'm still trying to wrap my head around what NFT like really is. Like, I guess it's like a digital like it's like an ownership token of some sort.
Because it's a digital good that you have ownership that you can basically, it's like your certificate of authentication type of thing.
So here's I do think I actually get that. And here's the wild thing. This comes in the same week, and I'm going to go down a Dead by Daylight rabbit hole, but it absolutely relates to this whole story. And Dark Sakura, you're going to know this one too. It has to do with the Pinhead voice lines that were going to be in the game.
Yeah.
The whole, you open the box and I came. Did you hear the story about why those got removed and what apparently that's all about?
A bit of it, yeah, that there was something like they wanted to bring it back in via NFT.
Yes, the license holders to that whole thing wanted to create like a Hellraiser Pinhead NFT that would get you access to Pinhead in all these other things. It would be like a Pinhead unlock in all these other things, and it would allow the voice dialogue to be there in Dead by Daylight and I guess other types of interactions in other games. I'm not sure fucking Pinhead is worth that. I think Waluigi could get that, judging off the past 2 weeks on the internet. But I don't think Pinhead could get that. Sorry.
Flea says that DBD released a statement that the NFT story was a fake.
Thank you. Thank you, Flea. Okay, I apologize for being the Fox News video game podcast right here. But it is what it is. That story was going around. However, okay. So thank you, Flea, for debunking the story, because that whole thing was ridiculous anyway. But I still say that is still something people are looking for in gaming. Even if it's not true in that case, some crypto, and again, I'm going to get, here's the thing. If you're going to email me explaining to me why I'm wrong, you better do it like I'm a 5-year-old when it comes to this stuff. And you need to understand part of the reason why NFTs are not like the big thing right now is because most people don't fucking understand them. So if you're going to email me and yell at me why I'm wrong, you're going to need to explain like I'm 5 why I'm wrong. Okay. And here's the whole thing is that I think some people want that to kind of be gaming. Like you buy these like unlock keys and stuff. I'm not sure the consumer really wants that. I'm really not. Mir Muse in chat says NFT and crypto sound like Beanie Babies at best and pyramid schemes at worst to me. Let's see. ZenMonkey11 says, I wish they had a Pinhead Pez dispenser. And I didn't even realize they tweeted this. So Mike Def sent us a tweet from Behavior that actually says, there's been some talk about NFTs. When we work with our licensing partners, we provide them with in-game models as well as chapter keys. They are free to use these however they see fit as the rightful owners of these characters. To be very clear, there is no exclusive in-game content linked to these models when they are distributed outside of the game in any way. Oh, interesting. So, I gotta say, the way that reads to me is that maybe they were trying to, like, the Hellraiser folks are trying to bundle these DLC into keys and stuff, but it had nothing to do with the voice line dialogue and why it was omitted. So rabbit hole done. I don't need to dwell on that too much, but I thought that was interesting. That's for sure. So anyway, Loki, I know there's another half to the story. Sorry.
Yes. And so of course, you know, Epic Games seizing the opportunity says, hey, guess what? We're going to welcome NFT games since Steam banned them. Cool. You can get in trouble with the same entities that got in trouble or got Steam in trouble. Or I should say maybe, I don't know. Good. Glad there's a marketplace for them. Didn't really need to step in and do that, but way to go, Tim Sweeney.
I don't know whether to read this into like Tim Sweeney's trying to be an edgelord, which is usually the case, or this is just, okay, him acknowledging sometimes these purposes can be legitimate and we're willing to be the playground for this. It reads to me as him being very try hard to separate himself from Steam. However, here's the thing. If a game company wants to try the Diablo 3 auction house again, go for it. You're going to flop, but go for it. Like, you can have the ability to do that, I guess. But
yeah,
if you can't learn from history, okay.
And it's fine. Like, I don't know. It. Whatever. Like, I'm not going to be like, oh my God. I have no strong opinion on any of this. So it's like, cool. Good job. Pat yourself on the back. Like, I'm not going to use one storefront over the other because of this or that. I mean, it's just. Tim Sweeney, can we please, like, get some actual features, like, you know, a shopping cart in the store, please, instead of just, you know, supporting these games? Can you finish your storefront, please? I would appreciate that first before, you know, making these grandiose gestures saying that we're going to accept these types of games and not these other types of games and whatnot. Because, let's be honest, at the end of the day, yeah, you can get the NFT games over on Epic Games. You can get all the pornography games on Steam, so... I don't know.
I know where my loyalty lies. E3VL in chat says, I got $150 from the auction house, and I was about to scream and ask questions, how, why. But then E3VL follows that up saying, not worth the time investment, though. Good lucky drops. So it took a lot of work and a lot of luck to make the $150. And I honestly bet if you'd spent that time... I don't know, driving for Lyft or DoorDash or doing freelancing types of work, you probably could have gotten that type of money as well. Like, and I'm not shading your life choices. Like, look, I tried to sell stuff on the auction house too. It just, to me, the demand wasn't there, and didn't make it, you know, really worth it. So anyway, in the interest of time, since we got a late start, I'm going to move on after this story. I'm not trying to write this whole off and hedge my bets on this will never be a thing or whatever, but I just... in my opinion, it's going to need to take a company like Nintendo embracing this before it's going to be a thing in gaming. And I already see, look, it's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. Well, never say never, but it's 99.9% not going to happen. Yeah. Especially after some of the choices Nintendo's been making lately.
We'll get to that later. They'll just do the Nintendo fungible tokens is what they'll have. It. You know, they'll try to do something stupid like that. But like, no, I don't think they even understand the basics of cryptocurrency and blockchain.
That's okay, because I don't either. All right, let's move on. Which I have a tiny little bit of cryptocurrency. I just bought it when all the other, you know, when all that crap was going on with GameStop and all that stuff. I was like, oh, this will be fun. I honestly looked at it no different than this is my Reno money that I put into it. And I've made a little money. I was, at least according to my PayPal wallet, I've made a little money. But I'm not, mm-hmm. I wouldn't put my life savings in it for sure. That's for sure. All right.
It is a fickle, fickle thing, though.
Yeah, sure is. Okay. Let's move on and talk about our gaming weeks and the types of things that we have been playing this week, whether they involve Bitcoin or not. Dark Soccer, I'll start with you. How was your gaming week?
I played 12 hours worth of Dead by Daylight on Monday.
Yeah.
And then I played 2 hours of grinding in Fantasian and another hour of Dead by Daylight. And pinball. We're the night I'm flying out to Alabama, which is Thursday night, Dan is hosting League at our house.
Oh, fun.
So pinballs have been all over the places. Pinballs to the wall.
Speaking of which, I was just going to say we should acknowledge California Extreme happened this weekend. I know some people that went. I just wasn't able to get over there.
Dan bought me a badge, and I didn't go because I had my COVID booster last week.
Oh, gotcha.
So I was still feeling kind of crappy. Mm-hmm.
I heard it was a good time from those that went, though. Like, it's kind of one of those, we missed it. It was good to have it back sort of things. I would have loved to go, but it was, like, as much as I love that show, the times I've been, which isn't very often, it's always at, like, the worst times for me. And that's nobody's fault. That's just a scheduling thing. It is what it is. I'd love to go again if it lines up with my calendar someday. So, anyhow, Dark Sakura, anything else you wanted to share?
I like soda.
Awesome. All right, let's say hello to Loki and his gaming week.
Yeah, so I played Power Washing Simulator and or Power Wash Simulator, and I'm up to the carousel level now.
Nice.
I'm trying to think. I just finished like a big treehouse, a helicopter. I don't remember what else I had. Oh, like an old like Winnebago or something like that. But yeah, so it's still fun. Still slowly going through it. Run out of things to unlock though, as far as like new equipment. So that's kind of a disappointment. But I know it's still early access. Mm-hmm. But and they, I keep getting updates.
Yeah, they just did a patch that added new scenes, right?
Yeah, they keep adding more levels to it, so that's good. I just wish they would have, like, there's still one more class of, like, power washer that you can get, like the industrial strength one or something like that, and that's just not available yet. But, yeah, I'm, you know, like a play that looks like for about 15 hours now. And then, of course, Minecraft. I've been playing Minecraft. So I put out,
you put out another video, right?
I put out another video, which is it's about a week turnaround time that time. So, and I'm already working on stuff for the next one. So I'm trying to keep up with that, you know, the weekly pace there instead of biweekly or even more infrequent than that. It just depends on what I'm putting together. There's a lot of like complicated builds and stuff that I'm doing, but I'm kind of getting to the point now. I've been finishing up the build I'm working on now. But I want to go back to making more farms, so I'm probably going to do that.
Nice. And I know there was some Minecraft news this week, but we'll get into that in a little bit.
Yes, there was. Awesome.
All right, my gaming week. So I've been trying to stream a little more often after work, and some days were better than others. Like Monday, obviously, the power was out. But I wasn't going to stream when Darkstalker was doing her marathon anyway. But the other days of the week, I was pretty much able to do stuff. I streamed some more Metroid Dread, and I got as far as the fight with a very familiar face from the Metroid series. I guess, you know, you can read into that what you want. And the viewers watched me lose that fight probably 5 or 6 times. So I don't know if I just didn't have enough energy tanks or gear or something to take on that fight. But I will say one thing that was really holding me back, my wrist started to hurt real bad. And those of you that were watching know that I called my stream. I mean, I've been going for an hour and a half, 2 hours, which is my usual time anyway. So I didn't feel bad about calling it when I did, but my wrist was really starting to hurt. And that kind of reads into my earlier feedback on Metroid Dread that although I think I liked the game more the second time I played it because I was more set up for what to expect. And so I was getting more out of a thrill out of those ME chase sequences and so forth. Like the controls is a major problem. Like my wrist is hurting and like, you know, there's accessibility things that are an issue too. Nintendo has got to address some configurability issues with this game. I don't know. Like it's I'm probably going to play more off stream in shorter bursts so I can, you know, give myself breaks more when I need them. But that was very disappointing that things got to the point where I was like hurting. E3VL says, did you play with Pro Controller? Yes, I did. The Splatoon Pro Controller. Shad Starzik says, I don't know how people are holding the controllers to make their wrists hurt. I went through the entire game with no problems like that. Congrats for you. I but that is not the case for me. So I don't know. So it's like, I like the game, but that was a major downer. But I'll play it more. I just won't be doing it on stream anymore. Cause I'll be doing it for like 30, 45 minutes at a time so I can give myself frequent, breaks. Shad Starzik also says, oh, you know what? I didn't use a pro controller. Maybe that's something to do with it. Perhaps. I know you play mostly handheld, so maybe that, you know, kind of because that is a big difference in how you hold it. Maybe that did make a difference. I don't know. So we'll see. Let's see. I did play some other stuff as well. I also played I got into a new game this week called Dungeon Encounters. That was interesting. So that is the game that they showed at, I think, the last Nintendo Direct. That was kind of a Squeenix game that came out of nowhere that was by the guy who designed, like, Final Fantasy XII and Tactics and stuff like that. It just came out on Steam, I think PS4 and Switch this week. And so I played this game on stream. It's the one where it looks like you're running around these crossword puzzles that have numbers in them, and you get into these fights, and that is what the game is. I played it on stream, and about 30 minutes into it, I was like, oh, this game is terrible. Like, I don't know what they were thinking with this. This is very clearly somebody's art project that's gone really, really wrong. And that's why this is being released without much fanfare. But by the time I got to the end of the stream, I started to just kind of notice things about it where I was like, you know what I think this is? I think this game is like a 1980s PC RPG, but done for a PlayStation 4 and Steam. Like, seriously, like, when you look at these maps, and, like, the whole thing is that there's no artwork beyond, like, there's no stairs drawn. The monsters are not drawn on the map. Everything is represented by hexadecimal numbers. So you have to remember, 2 is a staircase that goes up. 1 is a staircase that goes down. 6 is a place that can heal all your life. 5 is a place that you can resurrect everybody. Now, that really reminds me of, I'm talking, go way back to 80s PC gaming. I'm not talking about Rogue Likes. I'm talking about fucking Rogue, the original Rogue. Anybody ever play Rogue on the PC or whatever? It was ported to everything.
Ages ago,
right? And in that game, like, monsters were represented by letters of the alphabet. And sort like it's that kind of feel. So I kind of, and it's interesting because some of the puzzles then become, okay, you have to use these abilities to warp up a floor to where you were to get to this section that maybe you weren't able to reach before and things like that. They are puzzles that are straight out of, like, Ultima and those games that were big back in the day then. Bobby Blackwell says, did you do a Steam refund for it? I thought about it. But I didn't, because I let the viewers vote if they wanted to see it again. And yes, overwhelmingly won. So there's that. But also just the fact that by the end of it, I was kind of getting a little more into it. But I think the game extremely has its shortcomings. I'm willing to kind of see the puzzles through. I can deal with a retro-inspired game and things like that. But I'm just not sure why they felt getting rid of art direction altogether. Well, I guess I shouldn't say that because, I mean, they did design still pictures of characters. I mean, it's very minimal. This game is very minimalist, and I said that word a lot on the stream. It was a real choice for this game. I'm telling you, if they had taken this same game and used that same engine that they're using for Bravely Default and now the Triangle Strategy game, whatever that is, if they'd used that same engine, they'd actually drawn assets instead of numbers for some of those things, but used the same maps and dungeons, made the battles work the same, because the battle system is interesting, because you have, like, a physical defense shield and a magical defense shield, and then you have the HP underneath that, so you have to crack through one of the shields before you get to the health. It's an interesting mechanic. All they had to do was use, like, the Octopath Traveler interface and that whole thing for that, and I honestly think they would have had a hit on their hands. I don't know why they decided to keep this minimalist 80s RPG on a PlayStation 4 type of thing. Was it worth $30? No, I don't think so. But I know there's gonna be people. The thing is, this game is going to have its dedicated fans, but I think most people aren't going to get it. I barely get it. So. I think I just told you how this game could have been like 10 times better is to take down some of those minimalist walls and adapt an engine that you've already been using on other projects and play it to this vision of how the battle should run and things like that. And I think you would have had a hit on your hands. Oh, well, anyway, let's see. Other games I played this week. I guess I streamed a little bit of Dead by Daylight on Friday. I've decided I'm retired from Cookie Clicker. I have clicked all the cookies I will click. Yes, I'm done. Because I've hit the point where it's like I've gotten every every, except for one, Heavenly Ascension talent, which most people who play a game don't even know what the fuck that is. But that's when you ascend by getting so many cookies and start the game over, you get talents that roll over. I have all of them except for one, which is a very specific hard to do thing that I just don't feel like doing. And for those that know Cookie Clicker, it's the one where you ascend the chips as 777777. You have to have all six of the last digits sevens to get the last one. I got the other two. That's just 7 and 777. And the 777 one was annoying enough. I didn't want to do the other one. Yes, I know. You sell your buildings so you go slower. I know how to do it. I just don't want to do it. And I'm not going to do something in a video game I don't want to do. So I have decided to retire from the cookies. I got like 430 something achievements in that game. I'm good. I'm never going to get that many achievements in a video game. One other game I played a little bit of this week, Diablo 2 Resurrected. So I did finally pick that up and I've put a little time into that. And that, so it's interesting because that is a old school at this point, right? From like the late 90s RPG. And so some of those elements haven't aged well, especially the quality of life stuff. But with that one, especially with the nicer graphics and everything, looks really sharp. And I'm actually enjoying it, even though I'm like, God, it's a pain in the ass to keep going back to town and stuff. It doesn't bother me. Like, I'm actually kind of enjoying it. And I think they did a really good job with that. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, Grandma is sad, Rob. Well, the aliens ate her. Spoiler alert. All right. E3VL says, did you get login issues? I got a queue of 17 on Saturday, but otherwise have dodged the login issues in that game for the most part. I heard it was pretty bad, but as of now, it hasn't really hit me yet. So, all right, let's move on. We got a late start tonight, so I want to jump into some news. Again, housekeeping, we will not be here live next week. Halloween, I haven't figured out yet. I meant to talk about this with my co-host before we were live, but then the whole power outage situation. Is anyone else going to be here on Halloween night?
Yes.
You will be here?
My kids trick-or-treating, okay. So... Yeah.
Okay, so Jamie and I will be here that night with the show. Loki gets the night off to spend with kids. So that I just don't want to go 2 weeks without a show if we can help it, so... sure. But if you want to do a segment in advance or something, Loki, we can always do that. So, All right.
We'll see what's going on that week.
All right. Good times. All right. So we will be back on Halloween night. So Darksoccer and I will scare you. Maybe if we have a short show, maybe I'll let her kill me again in Dead by Daylight. Because that was kind of fun.
Dude, the kill your friends thing is fun. Did you see my very, very, very slow Pigu teabag?
I mean, yes, I did. And that kill your friends thing was very one-sided. It's very hard to do when there's only two survivors. But it was more
it
about
it really is
the,
hard with only two. In the corn it is.
For me, it was more about just getting to throw the pallet down on you and then teabag you. And I was satisfied because I was like, I know she's cussing me out.
I was most of the time going, oh, Rob, no.
All right, let's move on to some news. So we won't be here next week while Darksoccer is out in Alabama, and you know, that's a very serious thing. I'm going to Disneyland next week, so if Disneyland hadn't gotten rid of Duffy, I would have brought you back a Duffy something, Darksoccer, but I don't know. Do you still do pins?
I do still do pins.
Maybe I'll find a pin.
You know I love Tron stuff.
Well, so do I. So if I find it, I'll be buying it for myself. Maleficent. But if I find two,
Alan doesn't take the Maleficent stuff.
Okay, fair. All right.
Thank you, Rob.
I just want to see how much of the parks we can get done in a day. Because we're only going for the one day. So I really want to ride some of the new stuff.
What restrictions are like.
Yeah. I'm curious about how that's going to feel with COVID and everything, too. But I figured, you know what? If I got through Dragon Con, I'll get through this. And I'm vaccinated. I have no problem with masks. Whatever. It'll be fine.
I have a booster.
Yeah, I want to get a booster, but at the same time, I have Moderna, so we're kind of waiting.
Yeah. It hurt. It still hurts. It was right here. It's still really tender.
You know what really hurts?
What?
COVID-19. All right.
Well, duh, but I'm still saying that this one hurt worse than the other
interesting.
Two.
Most people said the third wasn't as bad as the second.
Mm.
Interesting.
But I also have another condition, so.
Fair. All right, let's move on. We got some gaming news to get to. As promised, Loki is going to talk about his fave.
Minecraft. Yes, we're going to talk about Minecraft. So Minecraft Live 2021 was this weekend, and we had lots of announcements. So this is normally the event. Normally in the past, when we're not in COVID, it would be a live event that you would be able to go to and experience everything, kind of like a fan festival. But the last few years have been just purely digital. So they talked about, you know, new updates coming out. Obviously, we have 118 right around the corner by the end of this year. So they talked about some of the updates with that, just kind of showcasing, you know, some of the changes that are coming, which we kind of knew anyways because they're doing the snapshot releases until the final release comes out. But then, of course, we got the news that the Deep Dark and the Warden have been delayed to 119, but then they finally showed off what they're doing with that, and they're really have expanded it out now. So the 119 update, which is coming out next year, is going to be called the Wild update, and it adds lots of different changes to it, one being, of course, adding the Deep Dark to it. The Deep Dark, for those who don't know, is a very, very scary place that they've added to Minecraft. It's almost like a horror update. It's nope. This place where there's a bunch of these like kind of growths on the ground that are all triggered by sound, and it can cause this thing that basically creates darkness. And then the Warden is this giant monster that comes out of the ground if you make too much noise. It's very creepy. You gotta honestly watch the trailers, because the sound design that they have in there, all the environment sounds, it's just so freaky. Like, I can't wait to play it. Because I remember when I first played Minecraft on the Xbox 360, like, when you don't know what anything is, and you know, like, okay, well, creepers are going to blow up and they're going to kill me. And I remember how, like, scared everybody was, you know, with the creepers and
stuff. Why are we talking past tense? That shit still scares me when I play Minecraft.
Well, it's like, now it's not so bad. Like, you know, like, if I run across enemies, I know I'm not too worried about them. But, like, before, it's like, oh, my God, I got, like, you got to hide in the house, you know, through the night and stuff like that. But now...
Do you know what, like, creepers need? Creepers need the terror radius from Dead by Daylight. That's what they need. So you have that heartbeat. Anyway,
and the red stain.
Yes.
So yeah, so that was on the announcement, all the different stuff they're adding. So like the skulk sensor and the skulk shrieker is the one that causes the darkness, and the effect is just really awesome. But outside of that, though, the wild update's going to do some revamps for existing biomes. So they're going to be updating the swamp biome. With that, they're going to be adding some new biomes, including mangrove trees, which is pretty cool. Chess boats, frogs, they're going to add mud into the game, which is going to be a new block. You can make mud bricks now. And then, of course, fireflies, which would be pretty cool. And that's just some of the stuff they're talking about. They're also going to be redoing the birch forest. And I think that there's probably going to be even more biomes that they go through and kind of overhaul. But that's kind of the stuff that they showed off right now. But they're trying to focus more on, like, the environment and bringing, like, the nature part out of things. So maybe environment sounds and whatnot. So that was a lot of the stuff that they talked about, like actual Java Minecraft in Bedrock.
Loki, but if they're adding mud, can I get naked and wear nothing but mud?
I mean, no. You can't wear mud.
What kind of fake-ass game is this?
You can make your skin look like mud, but yeah. Other cool things that they announced, that starting in November, Games Pass is going to have Minecraft on PC. So that includes both the Windows 10 edition, which is Bedrock, and the Java edition. So that'll be included with Games Pass, which is pretty awesome. Along with that, they're showing off some updates for Minecraft Dungeons. So Minecraft Dungeons is going to get something similar to what we have in like Diablo 3, where they have like the different seasonal events that go on. So they're going to have these seasonal adventures, as well as this Cloudy Climb and the Echoing Void DLC, which looks interesting. And then, of course, they did the mob vote this year as well. So they announced a few different mobs that they're going to be adding to the game. The Alley one, which is kind of like this fairy creature thing that's able to gather items for you. They had like a Copper Golem was another one that would have been pretty cool. It's got like a little robot thing. And then this Alley, which looks like a flying Oscar the Grouch, which I'm not really, or not the Alley, but the glare, which would point out where dark places are. Like I need something to point out where it's dark. Lots of big announcements. Very excited about the updates. Definitely go watch the trailer for the Deep Dark stuff, because, oh my God, it looks really cool, but also really creepy. But I'm very much looking forward to that next year.
It's nice to see that there's still quite a variety of content still being planned for that game when you consider how old it is.
Well, you got to see 118 is going to completely redesign like everything in the game. Like it's going to completely redesign the caves in the game,
right?
Just making it very interesting and adding a lot more features. So that alone is going to totally change the game. And then all these additional features are going back and kind of, instead of saying, okay, well, this is a birch forest and it looks exactly like a regular forest, but there's birch trees in it. They're actually making things very distinct and adding the small details in there.
All right. I look forward to your videos showing them all off.
Yes, of all course.
Right. All right. Moving on, let's talk about, okay, so another crafting game of a different sort and one that consumed our lives last year, Animal Crossing. And this week, pay attention, Dark Saga. This week we
watched the whole thing.
Did you? All right.
We
had a whole direct dedicated to Animal Crossing. And there is going to be one more free update. And they are saying this is the last one. There's a 2.0 update coming November 5th. And there's going to be some new characters coming new old characters in the Animal Crossing series. So some of the characters that kind of left out from last time are going to be added to the game. They're actually going to add Brewster as well, who's going to open up a not Starbucks, but some type of coffee cafe that's at the museum. The Roost. Which
the
is
Roost.
Inspired from the DS games, right, where that first appeared, right? Also, Cap'n is coming back. So even though there's no island to visit, per se, Cap'n is still going to... Oh, no, I guess he is taking you to different islands with his boat. So I don't know what we're going to find on them.
And it has Katrina and all the other folks there.
Okay, that'll be cool. So that's neat. There's also going to be some more shops at Harv's Island. That island already exists. There will be cooking and growing vegetables. So I think, because they data mine like pumpkin and stuff in that game a long time ago, right? So there's other vegetables that'll be, or squash or something, that's going to be coming to the game for that. So all that stuff they data mined forever ago, finally coming to the game. Also coming out is the first, and I assume only paid DLC for Animal Crossing, is going to be Happy Home Paradise. I, of course, instantly thought of Dark Sakura and all the time she spent playing Happy Home Designer, because this is basically it to that, right? Happy Home Paradise is basically that, right?
I have to pay the $25 for it.
Well,
but they also have it like where you can design. It's not just homes, though. You're doing like schools and theaters and stuff like that, too, which is.
Yeah,
that's what it was like in Happy Home Designer, too. You had different themes and stuff, but you also had to do that when you're designing like your shopping plaza and everything, too.
The thing
in, in the DS one.
The thing I'm most excited about are the gyroids are coming back to the game finally. So that will get me to visit the island. And I'm sure Ketchup's going to ask me, where the fuck have you been, asshole? So we'll see. I'm sure a lot of people are going to probably visit their town for the first time in a while with this. I mean, Dark Soccer, even you kind of stopped the daily grind of Animal Crossing. But is this enough to get you to fire up the island again?
I'm definitely going to come back.
I figured.
I like also those islands that they have for Cap'n now, where you can go there and the islands are different. They could be different seasons or time of day, which is kind of interesting. So you don't have to really necessarily time travel. So they've got that in there as well. Plus, they're going to have like unique stuff that you can do in there. I like all the different like building stuff you can do there with the where you can add permanent ladders and whatnot. I think that's pretty cool.
Looking in chat, Fifth Dream says, I hate digging up gyroids, but them reacting to music will be great. E3VL sharing the island friend code there in chat. I love that. Also saying, I stopped playing back in June. Love the new content, but too much of a time commitment for me to start up again. See a Tiberian chat says, it looks like the Happy Home Design DLC is going to permit some additional villagers to be more permanent. I thought that was part of the update, was that more villagers, because I know there's going to be new amiibo cards and everything, too, to support some of the new villagers. So I'm not sure. I have to be honest. I had to read the cliff notes because I wasn't able to watch the thing live, so I didn't see everything. But Dark Sakura, did you catch how the new villagers work? Is that just villagers they're adding, or are they tied to the Happy Home Design DLC?
I missed that. I didn't see that part.
I didn't see anything about new villagers, but they did mention that you can... use those cards, I think, to invite them to come to Brewster's.
Maybe that's what it is.
Basically, they have them come join you for coffee. But I don't know. I don't think they mentioned anything about adding villagers. The only thing they said is that they've added additional bridges. So you can do a total of 10 bridges and 10 slopes now.
Oh, okay.
Instead of 8. And what else? They also have that shed that you can get, like a almost like a gardening shed or something that you can access your home inventory outside your home. You can put that anywhere in your map, which is kind of cool.
Hmm.
I don't know. There's lots of things that they're announcing. I mean, it's a very robust update, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely this feels a little late in the cycle for this to come out, but I understand COVID probably screwed a lot of stuff up, so I'm not being too critical.
Yeah, COVID, how dare you?
So, but yeah, this will be a nice kind of way to wrap this all up, and then I'm assuming they're going to move on to the next Animal Crossing game after this, but we'll see. All right. Anyway, let's move on because there was another big thing that kind of got detailed that same day because it goes along with that DLC that Darkstalker was talking about. And this could have easily been the kickoff tonight because a lot of people talking about this. But
there's some drama.
Nintendo's been our kickoff a lot. So
I have feelings about this.
Yeah, well, let's get to it.
So one of the other things that was listed was a Nintendo Switch Online expansion pack. And I'll just go ahead and go through the basics on it. It's expanding the subscription service with a premium tier. It's going to happen later this month, around October 25th, that it is going to have the base service plus additional items such as a library of Nintendo 64 and Sega Genesis games. Individual membership will be $50, and then a family membership will be $80. And people are like, why? This is expensive. Why? And they're pretty pissed about it. I mean, there's even like the boycott the thing and they'll be forced to lower the price. But this is Nintendo. People are going to pay for it. They don't care.
You can sort of call me people. I'm not quite at the extent that you're at, but I'm very much of the mindset, vote with your wallet. And I will be voting no on this. Like this is, I mean, I can sort of see where folks can justify the price a little easier if they were planning on getting this Happy Home Design DLC anyway.
I'm getting the DLC.
Yeah, but are you gonna get this super expansion pack thingy to have?
If the person who manages the family plan that I am a member of wants to,
I will
gladly pay more for my part of it.
It's probably a better deal on the family plan. In fact, I know it is, but I'm not on that. So let me
cause, $30 more for up to 8 users. So keep in mind that would roughly be for a year of this, mind you, $10 per person for a year on a family plan.
Yeah, I'm
not pissed about it,
but I'm not on a family plan and. I don't know.
I'm on the plan with JD.
Sure. And people could say, well, Rob, you should get on a family plan. And I would say, y'all are gaming the system anyway. So whatever, you know, which is fine. There's nothing wrong. You're working within the confines that Nintendo gave you. But speaking as, you know, somebody who is not on one of these shared family plans or whatever, and even if I was, Mike Deft in chat says that he voted no, but the rest of the people on his family plan voted yes. So they're going to be upgrading to this. I think this is crap. Like, I think this is really crap what they're doing. I think this is crap to the level that, like, somebody in a higher up at Nintendo ought to have their role reexamined. This is so bad because this value is garbage. And what's really irritating about it, it's not even just the value that's because, you know, sure, you get the Happy Home Designer DLC, you know, quote unquote free. But
this time, though, like,
can I finish? Can I finish? Time. Can I finish? Because that is just for this year, because next year you're going to have to re-up and pay that DLC again. You know, it's going to be like PlayStation Plus or, you know, Xbox Gold or whatever, where once you stop paying, then you no longer have that DLC. For most people, a year is probably enough to well experience the Happy Home Designer DLC, whatever. But I think this whole fact that the games that they're including with the N64 and the Genesis stuff, it's not up to the level to justify that cost. And this is what really irritates me. And fucking wait, people. This is what's going to happen. Because the value of this higher dollar plan is so bad, they're going to have to start to dump more into it. And so what's now Nintendo, for no reason, has created two levels of this Nintendo Online, and this base plan that's been giving us Tetris 99, Mario 99, and all this stuff. Get ready, because all that's going to go away and get... Now, I'm not saying they're going to take away those specific games, but the future stuff is going to go to the higher dollar plan, because that's where Nintendo wants to put the people. Honestly, they should have just probably upped the price for everybody by $10 and thrown all this in and just said, here's what we're doing to justify the price cost. And I would probably feel a lot, I wouldn't feel so much like, well, those of us that opt to keep the base plan are going to get fucked over like I feel now. I think this whole like two-track thing is disaster in the making.
Well, and here's the problem too, is like you raise the price, you're going to raise the expectations of that service. A lot of people have been kind of letting it slide when it comes to poor performance on this Nintendo Online, because like, well, it's only $20 a year, you know, whatever, you know. But now that it's comparable to the other services, now that level of expectation is going to be higher too. And I'm sorry, like, yeah, I get it that your Nintendo 64 games are pretty cool, but you know what though? Like, I'm getting $60 free games or games that were like, you know, AAA quality games that are recent. Two a month, at least, with these services, these other services that I'm paying for. Like, you know, Nintendo has not shown that they can put out games on a consistent basis within those online collections. It's just, and it's just really scraping the bottom of the barrel sometimes of that. Okay, yeah, Super Mario 64 is a great game. Well, you know what? You sold Super Mario 64. Then you stopped selling it on purpose so that you could then raise the price on this. Like, it's just... It's absolutely stupid.
I'm just not interested in ponying up for this new scheme, and I know I'm going to regret it probably down the road, but like the reality is, well, I mean, I can always buy it later, I guess. There's nothing making me get it right now. Certainly, there's not, and maybe that's what it is. There's nothing motivating for me right now on October 25th to upgrade to this, so
I'm not upgrading. The only thing I'm doing is I'll buy the DLC, but that's it. I mean, I'm not going to upgrade.
Which is fine.
Because,
I'll do it if the person who manages our family plan does it.
And the other thing with all this, too, is that, you know, PlayStation Plus, Xbox Gold are $10 more a year. And what, Xbox Gold gives 4 free games a month? PlayStation Plus, 2, at least, 3. And again, like you said, the $60 games are being included with that. And Nintendo's response is to give fucking Happy Home Designer. Sorry, Jamie, but you know it's not enough for that. It's not enough for that type of fee.
Yeah, and they're going to be paying for it out regardless.
What if, like, God forbid, like, I know Animal Crossing is a popular game, but not every single person that has a Switch has Animal Crossing. So let's just say, like, you don't play Animal Crossing because that's just not your cup of tea. Maybe you're more of a Smash player or something like that. What is really, like, so you're really not getting a value proposition with that because it's like, well, you know... I'm not really getting anything. I'm getting DLC, so hopefully they'll want me to buy the game now so I can play with this DLC. Like, I don't know. It's such a tough sell because it's more than double the current price for Nintendo 64 games. I'm sorry that, like, we've played them to death. We've played them so many times. We've bought them so many times through the Wii shops and stuff like that. Like, why can't I play my old games that I purchased? You know, like, I can still play old Xbox 360, Xbox Live Arcade games if they're supported on, you know, the Xbox One. I can still play a lot of those. Like, it's so stupid that you have to keep rebuying your stuff.
At the end of the day, Nintendo's counting on the hardcore to fund them, and I think that's how it's going to go.
And I'm going to just beg everybody to really ask yourself if this is worth it. And I can understand that, yes, Mario Kart 64 online and Sin and Punishment and all that is going to be worth it to some people. If that's you, go off. Nobody but you should get to dictate how your money is spent. But for me, I'm very disappointed in this as a Nintendo fan and somebody who usually defends them on this program. I think it's so interesting because after that last Direct, I was so hyped. I'm like, that's the best Direct Nintendo's ever done. I'm so hyped. And then this happens and I'm like, wow, not to go back to Dead by Daylight, but I'm going to. And you know that opening movie where Dwight's running down the stairs and then he trips on the stair and eats shit and then Pinhead chains him to the wall. That is how I'm feeling about Nintendo,
you know,
right now.
And here's the ironic thing about this whole thing is if they had just done this instead of a subscription model like they're doing now and just opened up an e-shop where we could just purchase these piecemeal, they would probably make more money than they're going to make off of these subscriptions. Like,
and
that's
it's
a sad
funny.
Thing.
It's funny. And I already know Bobby's typing this comment in chat and probably some other people too, is that when it was like that, then everybody asked them to be the Netflix of gaming. Here's the problem is that everybody's looking at it and now going, Nintendo, you have this gigantic fucking catalog and you're piecemealing it like this. When people wanted Netflix for games, they didn't want these like small,
they wanted,
off,
like,
they wanted your whole catalog.
They
yeah,
want the
Game
Pass.
Yeah, they want a Game Pass.
So. And that's what they wanted. But then now Nintendo's like, well, yeah, we could do that, but it's going to be $50 a year. Which I think if they brought it down by month, and like it may not be such a big deal, but like it's still, I don't know. It's just, it's still very clunky. It really should all be like in, like I shouldn't have to have separate apps for Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Genesis, Nintendo 64. It should just be one giant like collection. Yeah. That's how they should really do it. And it should be also just like, why isn't there Game Boy games yet? Why isn't there like, you know, stuff that we know that they could, like Game Boy Advance, like they could do all this stuff easy. The 3DS could do it. Come on. Like, that's easy stuff. Just put it out in there. I don't. That's probably next year, I guess.
Pixel Pacas in chat says, I love N64 and still have a console plus games, but still wanted to opt into this for very quick and easy access to key N64 games. But I won't be upgrading my online membership at this price point. ZenMonkey11 in chat says, Nintendo knows what they're doing. They like to do things right and thorough. All I'm going to say is that the Wii U called and said hello. The Wii Vitality Sensor called and said hello. Look, Nintendo is the best game maker in the business. That I'm never going to argue that point, but they don't always make winning decisions. And in my opinion, this is one of them that's not a winning decision. And that's my opinion. Here's one other thing, though, I want to say on this whole thing before we get to the next story. And that is that whole, and I'm sure you guys have seen this, that whole quote unquote rumor, but it comes from that source that's gotten a lot of Nintendo things right before. So Nintendo is more apt to believe her. And the whole thing that it's apparently the third party licensing that is driving this cost so high. So namely, Sega Genesis is what's driving this cost so high. And I'm sitting here going, that makes a bad thing even worse. They paid that much for Sega Genesis stuff, and I'm not knocking the Genesis. It's an important console. It's a great thing. It's everywhere else except the Wii U, which this rumor said Sega didn't play up on the Wii U because they were disappointed in what little sales there were on the Wii and that it wasn't really advertised and backed very well. But I'm sorry, we all know of that Genesis collection that's available on every other platform. We know that Sega has no problem releasing their back catalog on all, like Steam and all sorts of other places. Those games, very easy to come by. I mean, I guess you could, even Castlevania Bloodlines was in that Castlevania collection they just did not that long ago. What's left? Contra Hardcore? That was in the Contra collection. What's left? Like, there's maybe one or two Genesis games in there that aren't really easily accessible somewhere else. And so whoever, if that is true, and it's a big if, and I understand this person's gotten a lot right before, but I bet they've gotten a lot wrong too. If this is true, that was the worst call in the whole thing. Who thought that was a good idea to drive the cost up that high to get the Sega fucking Genesis on the Switch? When it is
clearly
literally everywhere else.
They could have polled people, too. I mean, there also is that.
Yeah, I guess. But again, I don't understand why that and why not. Oh, I don't know. Do a Game Boy Color that has the Pokemon games in it. Jesus, that alone. Like, if it's just like all the old school Pokemon games. Oh, my God. People would have paid the higher fee for just that. Chain. No, I'm just kidding. Other people, especially if it had the Pokemon Bank functionality, you know? Johnny Wuface says, would rather had GameCube over Genesis. Yeah. SSG100 Matt says, there are like 10 different Sega collections with those games out there. Exactly. So again, that is a rumor. I don't want to say like that is the way it is, but it's coming from a source that's been right before, so people are really paying attention to it. and that's all I'm going to say. If that is true, somebody at Nintendo should be having their job examined this week, quite frankly. That was the worst business decision somebody could have possibly made. That it shows a complete lack of awareness of what is happening in the industry. If you're Sega, somebody should get a promotion over at Sega for making that deal. So, because you fucking took them to the cleaners. Good job. Once again, Sega ahead of the curve and ahead of its time. All right. Let's move on. Mike Def says, a co-host of mine said they should have just bought Saturn games since a lot of people miss those. Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Or if it had been the Dreamcast, can you fucking imagine? People would have lost their shit. So if that's the long-term plan with Sega, then I will eat my words. And I'm not going to say I'm going to eat my hat or something because I'll have to chow down on it eventually, possibly. But I will eat my words and pony up for one of these subscriptions. Absolutely. If that's the long-term plan, then person at Nintendo can keep their job because that's a very smart plan. But if Genesis is the only thing that was in the plan, that was stupid. But if the plan involves Dreamcast in 6 months' time or something, Saturn, then okay, good job. You did it. You did the thing. You probably should have dropped a hint around now to get people more excited, but whatever. Whatever. All right, let's move on. We're running behind as it is, so I want to get to the next story, which is Loki's.
So we talked about how there's been all these rumors about the Grand Theft Auto trilogy. Well, it's even more. I mean, they've officially announced that it is coming, but we still don't know exactly what exactly it is. However, there's been things found on deep within Rockstar's website that kind of it's a description of it. So they basically said three iconic cities, three epic stories. It's going to have the higher resolution textures, increase draw distance, environmental upgrades, Grand Theft Auto 5 style controls, and targeting, which is definitely a huge upgrade from what was available on the PlayStation 1 eras. Back when those games originally came out. So it sounds interesting. I don't know necessarily when it's coming out yet, but apparently there's going to be some sort of $10 discount or something. If you buy it, you get a discount on other Rockstar games or something like that. So probably later on this year, we'll have to see what exactly it is. I'm keeping my expectations low, though.
As the Grand Theft Auto fan.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I've played those so many times, though. I've played San Andreas in 3 and Vice City so many times.
I get it. I get it.
But it's just like, I can't imagine it's going to be that great. But whatever. We'll check it out.
All right. Speaking of things I can't imagine are going to be that great, let's talk about the return of G4 to television. So finally, after all this time, we have found out that G4 will be returning to cable television. It is not, as I thought it was going to be, something that was going to be leveraged for the Peacock service, which would have made a lot of sense. But they are going back to traditional cable. So, hey, I mean, congrats. That's a win. It is going to launch November 16th on Xfinity TV, Cox, and Verizon Fios. So that's interesting. You can also stream the network on Philo as well. G4 has supposedly made some type of promotional and commercial deal with Twitch. I'm assuming that means you're going to see a lot of G4 ads as the pre-roll into other content. G4 will continue to make dedicated social content for social media channels that will include YouTube as well. So they put out a whole little teaser this week that finally showed the date. Attack of the Show and X-Play are returning. Kevin Pereira and Adam Sessler are going to be hosting those respective shows. No words on other hosts and their involvement right now. ESL esports events will be there as well. Dungeons and Dragons playthrough with G4 talent and other celebs, I guess, will be there too. And, oh boy, all 167 episodes of Ninja Warrior for those. So this is very much late G4 coming back and not early G4 that many of us liked.
Just get Tech TV instead. Is it too late?
Some of the other talent coming to G4. Alex Golden Boy Mendez. Avili May. I'm sorry, I've never heard of any of these people. Indiana Froskarin Black. YouTube creators Kasim G. Gerard, The Completionist Kyle Lil, and Gina Darling. Twitch streamers Fiona Nova and Will Neff. and WWE Xavier Woods, a.k.a. Austin Creed. Okay, I've heard of that one. The rest, I've heard of the wrestler. I can't fucking believe we're here at this point. But okay, I guess this is where I'm just old, out of touch grandpa. Bomani Boomer. I forgot we all got titles last week. Old, out of touch Bomani Boomer, who doesn't know any of these other new names. So anyway, G4 is coming back. Anyone have anything to say about that?
I'll wave a little flag.
really going... surprised that they don't go, like, I get it because it's a cable channel and they want you to subscribe to it, which I won't be doing. But I am kind of disappointed that they're not within this century and streaming online as well, like on like Twitch or something like that. But whatever, I guess.
Let's see. Mike Deft says, I do follow the completionist. Good guy. All right. I trust your feedback, Mike Deft. Let's see. Critical Myth says, this town's terrible. Yeah. I will continue to not watch it like every other cable network. I don't watch cable TV anymore. This little thing called Twitch came along and I can watch my friends play video games and talk to them and chat and be a little bit social. And that's kind of what I do. And in my opinion, that's G4's biggest competitor. So I guess they're smart to team up with Twitch a little bit, but, yeah. Bobby Blackwolf says, but are they streaming? Like, they're on traditional cable in a streaming service. It's just not a streaming service you have. It's on that Philos or whatever. So, cool.
Yeah, Philo you can do, through, smart TVs and stuff.
I've watched a little bit of the Hell's Kitchen Uncensored channel. I watched a lot of the RuPaul's Drag Race channel when that was a thing, but they got rid of that. And then I watched some of the Survivor channel that shows, the old-ass episode of Survivor on Pluto TV. That's about the most channel stuff I've watched on those free streaming services. Oh, I take that back. My TV has something built into it. What's Samsung's streaming service? The Samsung TVs have something built into it, and they have a game show channel, and I do watch that. I forgot about that, so I'll give you that.
Pluto's fun when they've got – because they have the dedicated Mr. San Siro 3000 channels, which mm-hmm. are always fun.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mike Deft says smart TV. I have it too. So, all right. Anyway, let's move on. I think we're to Dark Sakura.
Are we? Well, you know, I am a big fan of the Analog Company and a lot of the things that they put out. And I really do want one of these. Just they're expensive. The Analog Pocket that's supposed to play all these delightful things. It's getting its own operating system when it launches, and it is going to launch later this year. Now tell me when the freaking Analog Duo is coming out, because that's what I want more. Anyway, they are going to come out with Analog OS, which they call, quote, a definitive scholarly operating system that lets users explore, discover, and play through all of video game history. It is a fairly minimalist operating system, to which I'm rather pleased about. But it has its library that has a database that was built by the group at Analog that shows system by system, game by game, region by region, developer by developer, publisher by publisher, revision by revision. A complete and total history of video games. And that, I have to say, it's gorgeous. I like it. And on top of that, I mean, some of the other things, too, is that you can organize your games and create gaming playlists. That, and you can share your playlists with other people. And you can track when you play. It's got, all kinds of other interesting tools in it with a nice OLED display. But that the OS is, it looks really, really beautiful. You know me, I like something that's clean looking, that's just simple and easy to pick up. But the fact that it's got so much gaming history attached to it is, honestly, it's what I really, really am excited for. I more and more want one of these things. Plus it has dark mode and you have classic screen modes and all kinds of different features for the different systems that are portrayed in the gaming. I'm absolutely delighted by this.
Yeah, it looks really neat. Like, I kind of want to get one of these too, just because it looks like such a great way to kind of play the old games. They have a very strong kind of like anti-ROM stance too. Like, they're very much like, this is for cartridges, not for ROMs.
Well, I think they're just saying that they're just trying to clarify that the OS is not allowing you to pirate stuff.
Fair.
The system's meant to be like a physical, you know, a physical game device, but like,
well, I mean, the you fact could that get it plays a... Hue cards. And I think it plays both varieties of Hue cards.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my Turbo Express is kind of beat. It would be nice to have something like this.
Yeah.
Plus, you could always get like an EverDrive or something like that if you wanted to load your own ROMs in.
Yeah.
All right. Well, moving on. A few more stories here before we get to the classic game of the week. But first, Loki.
So, Epic has finally admitted what we've already all known since the absolute beginning of time, that yes, Fortnite's imposter mode might have been inspired by Among Us. It may have been, you know, a little bit. So, yeah, basically they said that, you know, in their, I guess, update notes or whatever, they said, you know, version 18.2. 2.0 brings improvements to Impostors, the game mode inspired by Among Us from Inner Sloth. So they do mention that, you know, they finally do credit them. Of course, you know, Inner Sloth said, you know, hey, we didn't patent the mechanics for Among Us because they don't think it's healthy for the game industry to do that. And I think the thought is that there's going to be some sort of maybe crossover between Among Us and Fortnite, that they're going to do something with that maybe, and that's why now they're kind of shaking hands and, you know. So
no, Among Us team, don't sell out. Don't do it. Don't.
So we'll see, but it's thank you, Epic, for doing the bare minimum.
I think you're right, though, that it could be leading to something bigger, but we'll see.
Yeah,
all right.
I mean, yeah, it's...
Well, moving on to, before we get to the classic game of the week, obviously a lot of people loving Metroid Dread, but don't run into the bug that is in the game that apparently is really screwing people up on being able to finish the game, because the title will close out and causes an error that says the software was closed because an error occurred. Apparently, if you destroy a door while a map marker for that door is displayed on the map, it will crash the game, which seems a little silly. Nintendo says, if you just restart and before this happens, take off the icon door map marker, and then the error won't occur and the game can continue. So that seems easy enough to avoid, but Nintendo will be patching the game. You don't often hear about Nintendo having to do bug fix patches because they come from an era when you couldn't do that. So, but they're doing it. So they're going to, it isn't the first time, obviously, we just talked about an Animal Crossing patch. So they're going to fix this with a patch. I think it's supposed to be a little later this month, I think I was hearing, is when they were planning to put that out. So, that'll be good for people trying to get past that. But it is very interesting that the game launched with a bug, kind of like that, that, left some folks, getting their games restarted on them, which would have made me unhappy if I ran into that. I guess I still could, but I haven't really been using map markers, so I probably won't. All right. Going to our chat before we get to our next segment. Zen Monkey in chat says, the Among Us team already sold out. They promised an Among Us 2 and Among Us 1 going totally free and open source. Then they saw how popular the first one got, so they saw dollar signs and changed their roadmap. I kind of see that, but at the same time, there's a part of me that thinks that sort of success, they kind of earned it. They made a cultural phenomenon type of thing. I get the whole they were going to make it open source and then they didn't. Kind of seems as them going back on their word. I would guess one day this game will lose its popularity and Steam and all that stuff, and they'll probably come around and release the source code like they did with Doom, the stuff too.
It's probably like depending on the success of it, because obviously like a smaller game or something like that, they probably have no problem with like, They're like, okay, well, we released it. All right, didn't really do that great. Okay, we'll go ahead and release the source code because why not? We'll move on from there. And then it became a huge phenomenon. They're like, all right, well, now we have to go a different approach. Like, I could see that.
Yeah.
People can change their minds.
And Mike Def says, who's buying their official Among Us costume for Halloween? Yeah.
They did not have any Among Us Halloween costumes when I went to the
Halloween
store. I haven't
seen it, but I'm sure it's out there.
Now, if you want Fortnite costumes, well, there's a whole section in the store for Fortnite.
All right. Can I be sexy Fortnite? Because that's what Halloween is. It's sexy.
Probably. I'm guessing. I mean, ironically, yes, I think you can. And I swear that I have seen those like kind of posts where it's showing the stupidest, like, sexy costumes that they have. And I'm pretty sure I did see one with, like, the llama pinata thing as, like, a sexy costume. So it was just, like, it's blue and purple bikinis and a llama head. It makes no sense.
E3VL in chat says Squid Game costume this year. Oh, that's a sexy.
They did not have those.
Sexy Squid Game. I'm into it.
It's too soon. For like the Halloween store chains to actually have those because they manufacture the stuff way in advance. So they did not get in on the Squid Game stuff this year. Now Amazon and all the other like shops online, yeah, of course you can do that. But
I'm gonna do that. Store. I'm gonna do that for Rocky in 2 weeks. I'm gonna do sexy Squid Game. I can't wait. All right. Anyhow, let's move on.
Are you going to dress up like the doll?
No, I already know how to do it. I could dress up as the doll. That's one way to do it. But I think what I'll do, I'll wear for the top up like a tank top with the number like on it in green. And then the bottom, I'm just going to have like probably I'll just wear like green undies that come up pretty high. Like I'm willing to wear it on the Rocky stage, but not much beyond that. And then like green fishnets and green heels. That's my idea for sexy Squid Game. So, and then what I'll do is I'll have a squid for one of my arms and I'll make jokes about the tentacles. Anyway, all right. Tire Claw says, what if you dress up as the Squid Kids from Splatoon? I don't want to bring things for kids into these crazy costume ideas I have. So pass.
Pretty, yeah.
Bonds 006 says, Rob, my girlfriend asked if you will do sexy Squid Game costume on the podcast. This is where I should hold it hostage for money. We'll see what kind of mood I'm in. Here's the thing. There are rules of what you can and can't do on Twitch. So I will probably only be able to do it from the top up on Twitch.
You can't do that on Twitch-a-vision.
Yeah. You can't do that on Twitch-a-vision. All right. Let's move on to a time when things were less sexy for Halloween.
Things are pretty bad and homemade. And now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
As 2100 Matt says, there was a time for sexy Halloween costumes. I think so. At least there was a time when this game existed, and it's not that sexy. It's kind of loud.
It's older than a lot of you.
Yes. Darsakura, what is this game that we're looking at?
The game that I picked is Monaco GP. Now, I'm going to take a step back. A lot of people know Monaco GP as a more modern racer, but not so. This is the original Monaco GP. It is an arcade racing game that was released by Sega in November 1979 and came out in North America January 1980. It has a very specific special thing about it, and that is that it was the last Sega game to use TTL based logic circuits instead of microprocessor based CPUs, transistor to transistor logic, by the way. It has 100 chips across 2 circuit boards, sprites, and different images are stored on a small ROM chip, and then the sound effects and other things are stored. They're actually generated by an operational amplifier and other analog circuitry. So The scoring is done via LEDs on the cabinet, kind of old school pinball style, including players' high scores and the high score table. And basically, it's a race against the clock. You are racing your little cars through five different areas. You have rival cars that will get faster. The road will narrow. The surface changes to ice and gravel. There are also, for this arcade game, there were multiple cabinets out. There was a deluxe cockpit cabinet that you would sit behind the steering wheel. We had these a long time ago, y'all. And then you also, of course, had the stand-up versions. But, yeah, Monaco GP has had many a port, and it really did sort of get that racing genre really big. I mean, we also had, around the same time, Pole Position was coming out. We had other racing games. And this one was among the top three highest grossing games of 1979 in Japan, and the top five in 1980. And in America, it was the top grossing driving game of 1981, and it still remained in the Japanese charts through 83. In the U.S., it remained in charts through 87, so, I mean, look at that. It's really, yeah. It's hard to find a good long play of the arcade one. I did link another one that has better sound that's from the arcade. But to go through it, there was an upgraded version that was Pro Monaco GP that came out in 1980. And then later on, it was ported to the SG-1000 in 1983. It also had later releases as Super Monaco GP and Ayrton Senna's Super Monaco GP2. So this one as well, I mean, like I said, it was very well received, and it's been re-released, you know, had sequels and everything, but it even had a remake for PlayStation 2 and the Sega Aegis 2500 collection. And it had a bunch of different add-ons, including more cars and game modes. And the remake itself improved some of the gameplay that people were a little bit iffy about on the original. So, there's a person from Replay, Eddie Adiam, I'm going to hope I pronounced it right, that said that Monaco GP is one of the, quote, most evergreen games to come out from 1979. And I honestly, there's not really enough I can say about it, really. It is a fairly obvious, fairly simple game, but this is, again, the late 70s when this came out. And it was a fairly, I would say, involved game for its time. Now, we might call it simple now, but this game really did a lot of stuff. And like I said, it was one of the last old-school style TTL machines that Sega put out. So it does have that distinction. But that's it.
I was going to say, can I tell an interesting story about this game real quick? This may surprise you. So I don't know if my dad is still out there watching. He texted a picture earlier that he was watching. So hi, Dad, if you're out there. And thanks for watching tonight. But way back in the day, we had a Commodore 64, and I've talked about, you know, the C64 era a lot on this show. And one of the games that my dad, you know, found and bought for this Commodore 64 that we had was a game called Le Mans.
I remember
that game quite fondly as one of the first games I really played when I was younger on that Commodore 64, because it used the paddle. It used that unique like Atari paddle kind of control. Actually, no, it was the, because you could plug the Atari controllers into the Commodore 64. I forgot that was like a thing. So you use the paddle controller with it. It was this game. It was literally the exact same thing as this game, down to the nighttime levels were in that as well. So, like, it was very much a clone, a ripoff or whatever of this exact... And I never realized you know, because I just always thought when I saw this type of game, I was like, oh, it's Le Mans. And I'm like, oh, my God, it was inspired by this game. So it was like a Commodore's clone of Monaco GP, which is so crazy to me. So, yeah, one of my first gaming memories is that game. And so essentially it's this. And I'm sure the audio, sorry if the audio kind of bugs a little bit, but it is, you know, it's a late 70s game. It didn't have a lot of great audio. But the Commodore 64 version was really no better in that regard. You know, it was like that constant engine noise you would hear in the game. But I think that's just so interesting how it existed in my memory as a different game, but that was one that was in fact inspired by this. So, all right. There it is. Excellent choice, Dark Sakura. The classic game of the week is Monaco GP by Sega.
I am glad people approve of my choice.
Yeah. All right.
Older than a lot of you kids. Get off my lawn.
It sure is. It's about
get
as old
me my
as I
pink
am.
Drink and get off my lawn.
All right. Let's get into some rapid fire news. Let's get to it. Loki.
Yeah. So apparently Epic is thinking that, since they have all of the Halloween costumes now, that, hey, why not? Let's expand out into scripted video programming. In other words, movies for Fortnite. So perhaps we'll see a Fortnite movie or a Fortnite Netflix series or something to that effect. But it is something that they are considering. And why not? Because it is a pop culture phenomenon and they like money. So, of course, they're going to do that. So we'll have to wait and see. Fun times. And then there's also the word basically... With the announcement we had last week of Kingdom Hearts coming to the Switch via cloud versions, they were asked if, you know, there's a way to get this to run natively instead of via the cloud service. And it's something that they're, you know, not sure. They're undecided on trying to pursue, but it is, you know, it's not going to happen on this hardware. I'm going to tell you that right now. But we'll like to think that, you know, maybe they'll figure out a way to do it. I mean, they did it with The Witcher 3. I don't know why they can't do this, but we'll see.
All right. Dark Sakura.
So, there is a release date now for Gate of Nightmares. It is going to be out. It's a JRPG done by Mashima Hiro, who is also behind Fairy Tail. It's going to be released on October 26th for iOS and Android. It's looking like it's going to be pretty fun. So, yeah, October 26th, go get it. I think that looks really neat. I love that art style, too. And sadder news, though, for fans of Rocksmith, of which I know three. While Ubisoft is working on Rocksmith Plus, the original Rocksmith from 2011 and all of its DLC are being removed from digital stores. That is starting on today, on the 17th. So as of today, it's being pulled and delisted.
We all know somebody who used to work on Rocksmith. Let's not say them on air, but we all do.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But I'm talking about the people who actually
are
good at this and learned to play freaking guitar from it.
It was a neat idea.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're going to have another one, just the old one's going away.
Right.
Out with the old, in with the new, I guess.
Yeah, the old was 10 years old. It's fine.
Yeah, true. It's dated.
Like this program.
Girl.
All right, let's travel around the world and check out that hot new current stuff that all the kids are going to be talking about and the release dates from this week. Loki, we'll start with you and the U.S. release dates.
Yes, so this week we have the Caligula Effect 2 on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4, Dying Light Platinum Edition on Nintendo Switch, Corpse Party on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X, Disciples Liberation on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. Echo Generation, which I'm very much looking forward to. This is an awesome looking game. Xbox One, Xbox Series X. We have Evertried on Nintendo Switch. Skull, the Hero Slayer on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Toy Soldiers HD on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And last but not least, the Dark Pictures Anthology House of Ashes on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X.
I can't believe you'd be leaving out this title I'm looking at for the Nintendo Switch. That's definitely Game of the Year material. It's My Friend Peppa Pig is out on the Switch this week in the U.S. How dare you, Loki?
It's not on my list, so I'm not sure if it actually is.
Oh, it's on
my... It's lies.
Somehow on mine. All right, anyway. Moving over to Japan and checking out releases over there. Blue Reflection Second Light on the Switch this week, and Arctype Arcadia is out this week in Japan. That's it, really, for the Nintendo Switch. Taking a look at the PlayStation 5 this week in Japan, I don't think we have anything at all.
It's kind of a slow week all over.
It is all over. I'm just briefly looking at the PlayStation 4. That same Blue Reflection, Second Light, Arctype Arcadia, both those games also on the PlayStation 4. But that's really it. Yeah, slow week out there, too. Darsakura, how about the UK?
Only three things, and that's for the 22nd. We have the Dark Pictures Triple Pack for PlayStation and Xbox. We have My Friend Peppa Pigu. I'm sorry, Pig. I'm going to Photoshop her into Pig, by the way. That's on PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. And then on Xbox and PlayStation again, we have the Dark Pictures Anthology House of Ashes.
All right. That's it for the release date. Oh, go ahead.
For the record, speaking of Pigu, I forgot to mention.
Okay.
I got to pick the name for Pig in our friend Nick and Prince's Nuzlocke thing today. And her name is Amanda Lorien.
I like these cute little things, since you brought that up, general talk, not just DBD, but I'm obviously you and I watch a lot of the streams, so we see it a lot. I like these cute little challenges that streamers come up for themselves with this. And I guess this whole Nuzlocke thing is based off a Pokemon concept.
It is.
A lot of Pokemon streamers kind of do and started in that whole regard. So I like these cute little challenges that people develop for themselves on Twitch. I think it's cute. So.
I just like that he's letting everyone pick nicknames, but I actually did my sub in such a way that I got to actually just straight out pick a name.
Oh, cool.
So as a result of that, I actually, I hate saying Photoshopped because I don't use Photoshop anymore. I affinity photoed a picture of Pig. Instead of wearing the Pig mask, she's wearing the Mandalorian helmet.
Perfect.
All right. I'm very proud of my work.
And then she was instantly eliminated from the Nuzlocke the first game. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
I
actually made it back for the last half of the first game because I thought I'd have time to go do my makeup and everything. And it was a Pigu was winner.
Oh, fun.
Because okay. Pigu was best new.
Let's move on. We have some more stories for you guys. Due to the late start tonight, I think we're going to kind of pick up the pace with these last few stories here. And because I know we have at least two emails tonight, and I want to see if we can try to squeeze in a call or two. But to do that, we're going to go through these stories a little faster than usual. It's just, I think, like five stories. So we'll start with Loki.
Yeah, so Sony's finally letting us buy PlayStation 5s directly from them. They put up a website to go ahead and do that. You have to put your username in there. They're trying to restrict it, one per household. Also, probably the fact that, you know, a lot of these other bigger chains like Best Buy and stuff are scalping them, which is nice. If you're interested in purchasing a PlayStation 5, then you'll probably want to go to PlayStation.com to their register the buy page and register to do that to see if you can pick one up.
You know, Jason kind of referenced that in the intro tonight about how the retailers must not be so happy about that. But I also kind of understand.
Don't scalp it.
Yeah. I also see why it's in Sony's interest to do that, especially when we talk about, you know, these shortages of consoles. You know, we had that story about Microsoft a couple weeks ago. These shortages don't look like they're going to ease up anytime soon. That's a lot of what we're hearing about in the news outside of gaming world is like how, you know, the ships are having troubles getting into docks because there's not as many workers at the docks, et cetera, et cetera. It's kind of having this ripple effect. Or is it all because of that ship that was stuck in the Suez Canal? Is it all because of that? Is it all because of the Evergreen? that this is happening?
I don't know.
I shouldn't laugh because it is a lot of problems. Now we're hearing about these supply chains are picking up, but that isn't probably going to have much impact, unfortunately, on PlayStation 5. So, all right. And SG100 Matt says, not really today's, and referring to today's problems, are they caused by the Evergreen? But it was a problem for a bit. And Mike Def says it's column A, column B. All right. Moving on. I think this is interesting. The all chat or slash all chat is being disabled, at least for a brief time, in League of Legends. The developers have made a decision to keep this off for a couple of patches and ask players for feedback. So usually you can use slash all to chat with folks from the other team after a match. And as I'm sure that goes well in many cases, right? I'm sure people know how to behave themselves and respect the other players at the end of a match. I haven't played League of Legends because the one time I did play it, somebody used that all feature to say something, and I decided I didn't want to play anymore. So I can understand. And you know what's interesting? I think this could be a response. Maybe this is me being a little tinfoil hatty, but I don't care. I think this could be a response to Pokemon Unite and why a lot of people are kind of loving that MOBA right now. Now, granted, maybe I kind of stopped playing it, but I've kind of kept an eye on it, and I see some streamers that are still doing it and stuff. And I think part of why people are apt to play that game is because there is no chat feature. And that, you know, you only have the brief little phrases you can say to each other. It's enough to send some basic communication about the game. And sure, there's some things that annoy people, like people voting to abandon a game too soon and things like that. But for the most part, not having to put up with the straight-up toxic and abusive chat that sometimes faces the player chat at the end of a game is probably a refreshing feeling. Quite frankly, I wish they'd do this in Dead by Daylight, too. I would not miss that post-game chat one bit. So, anyway, that's why I think the Windows Store is actually the best place to play Dead by Daylight. Actually, Stadia is not bad either, because you can kind of, like, see it, but you're not expected to participate in that chat. But anyway, all right. Also, you can still see with what League of Legends is doing, the control 1, 2, 3, 4 spam emotes and things like that. So it's not going to stop teabagging or anything like that. However, it seems like this might not last long. The reaction to this change has been negative. People saying that, you know, when they actually bond with people and when the system works well, they kind of miss that. And that the toxic behavior is actually happening with team chats. And I could absolutely see that and agree with that as well. This has been clarified on Twitter that they're just testing this and they will keep or reverse the change based on the feedback they get. They should just let people opt in or out of those chats completely, quite frankly. Mike Defton chat says people are still hella toxic in Unite though. How? I guess maybe just through emotes or their actions. I could see that. That maybe people through their, like, they start to do actions that negatively impact the team. I could see that. You're not going to get, unfortunately, people are going to be shitty any way they can sometimes, unfortunately. So, and Fifth Dream says, even the Pokemon MOBA is toxic, so I bet that all chat is terrible. All right. Let's see. Mike Def says, though, I prefer Unite to other MOBAs. All those comments coming from our chat over twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Dark Sakura.
So, this isn't really, like, super surprising, but it turns out that video game industry has really been learning that a lot of people are able to work from home. They can work remotely. As long as they've got the machinery that they need for it. But yeah, like, for example, Asper Media, who's based out of Austin, Texas, working on Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic remake. They're great with it. They're letting their people work from home, and they are highly productive when doing it. Whereas some of these other companies are like, no, you have to be here, blah, 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 blah. Like, you make someone sign an NDA and they can work from home. I mean, there's a lot of advantages to it, as well as just keeping their employees safe and giving them a healthier work-life balance, I think, because they don't have to worry about, you know, the commute, the gas, the not seeing their home, I guess that makes sense. But actually being present in a dedicated space for it, that then they can leave and they're already home. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about my job anyway.
Right. I could see where, you know, I know a lot of video game companies have been struggling with the whole work at home thing because there is so much collaboration that happens. I would think a hybrid solution is probably very doable for a lot of companies where, like, maybe we're in the office Tuesday, Thursday, but we're work from home Monday, Wednesday, Friday, like something like that where, you know, so at least some of those collaborations can happen. But I would also greatly see, you know, A, I haven't worked in the game industry, so I don't really know. B, I could see where maybe that works for some companies, not for others. And okay. So, but I'm not surprised to hear that some of the companies are going to stick with it. I'm really not. Because you know what? The companies can also look at it as we can save on not having to rent a giant building for all the office space. We can have a small place for the occasional collaborations and things like that. But we don't need all this space otherwise. I think that's going to be the most interesting thing post-pandemic is what
honestly,
happens
yeah.
to a lot of these job places where the workforces are going completely remote. Are they going to be like a collaborative workspace and you're going to see more of those type of pop up? I don't know.
Wouldn't be mad about it. I mean, honestly enough, like I was actually just kind of thinking about where I work. They just built a huge new building in Austin for our group there. Mm-hmm. And they're doing all kinds of building work for us at mine, you know, not saying where I work. But at the same time, I think half of the reason that some companies want people to be in a location is for culture. At least that's what it is with my job. A lot of it has to do with our culture of collaboration. But at the same time, you know, I think that there has to come a point where you need to learn to balance the bigger picture with that culture. And I don't think culture has suffered at all where I work. We're still collaborating. We're still talking, you know, we're still helping each other out. We're just doing it remotely now. It just changed the method of our communication.
Same for us. And we do very different things at our day jobs.
Exactly.
Critical Myth in chat says my company is leasing out parts of our corporate building since they have so many of us working remotely now. SJ100 Matt says my job was forced to go full remote due to the pandemic, and we were forced to figure it out. Now we have no plans of being back in an office again. So it's possible if companies support their staff to get the right equipment. And SJ100 Matt, not to like talk about your business on air too much, so I apologize in advance, but aren't you like moving too now? So because like you don't have to commute as much anymore? Like I thought I was picking up on that was a thing. And you're not alone in that regard. There's a lot of people, and you even said in chat there, oh, you moved a year ago. Shit, I'm slow, aren't I? But the point and the why still kind of stands, right? So SJ100 Matt says it's already a huge problem in New York City and San Francisco. I'm so curious what San Francisco is going to look like in 10 years. So curious. I love San Francisco. I love the culture. I love the town. It's always been prohibitively expensive to do a lot there. So I'm super curious to see what this is going to do. It's going to be interesting. Anyway, go ahead.
I was also just thinking, you know, there's a lot of attitudes, I think, that are rooted in the old way. Does that make sense? So I think that it's going to require not just a, you have to do this for now, but there has to be like a total shift of mindset. My work wants us back in January.
Mm.
I don't think it's going to happen.
We've pretty much said we're going to be work from home is an option forever, pretty much. But they want to do some things in person, which I get, like training they want to do in person, which is very near and dear to my heart, and I completely get that. When it makes sense. There are some trainings that still virtual is completely fine, but I totally get there are some job skill-based training they really want to do in person. So I think it's just a matter of when is it safe to do that, really. And that kind of keeps getting pushed back for us as well. And they're not saying when. I'm guessing January is what they're looking at, but kind of not saying anything until they're going to commit to it this time. If that makes sense.
No. Mine said September and then October and now January, and I still don't feel comfortable going back, but it is what it is.
Yep. All right. Let's move on to our next story, Loki.
All right. So we're talking about speedrunners. Of course, we're going to be talking about cheating. And that's the case with Barry Mode's record for, I believe, the classic Spelunky. And it was found that he had used, I think, a program to basically kind of, it's almost like a task where he was able to basically reset points where he died and like redo that section. So he said, well, I ran it, but I just removed I eliminated the starting over factor, because that's why a big part of speedrunning is hard. So he doesn't really think that he cheated, but obviously he's deleted his video that he posted online and submitted to the speedrunning scene, and also, of course, didn't confess to any of this stuff until it was pointed out that there was a missing tile that was appearing anytime that the screen changed, and that was a symptom of a certain program that's used to kind of automate that. Shame, shame.
Pixel Podcast in chat says, wow. Yeah, wow indeed. All right.
Yeah, and it was apparently, it was such a good record that, no one's been able to beat it. Well, yeah, obviously, because, wasn't all through one run, but yeah, what are you going to do?
All right.
I know, disqualify him. That's what you're going to
do. That's what you're going to do. All right. Lastly tonight, before we get to the roundtable, I want to talk about this. I think this is great. The Xbox Series X fridge is happening. It's a real thing, and you can pre-order it. Here's the thing. They made it a mini fridge, I guess, to make it a little more consumer. I'm assuming with all the problems going on with deliveries in the world and stuff, probably makes it a little easier to deliver on, too. But the Xbox mini fridge will be available for the holidays. The fridge costs $100, and pre-orders start in 2 days, so the 19th. The mini fridge, of course, is like the actual fridge that Xbox tweeted. I think they gave one to Snoop Dogg and somebody else.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. So they gave the fridge. But the mini fridge will still be great for storing your weed if you want to put that in there, and a couple of sodas or whatever. So anyway, I think that's great. I think that's so funny. I actually kind of want one, I'm going to be honest. I imagine it's the size of an actual Xbox console. I think that's really cool. Mike Def says, I would buy it. Fifth Dream says, store your KFC in it. Sure. Although, I hope you like Kentucky
the
Fried
game
Cold.
Game bucket.
Anyway, I think that's great. All right. Let's get to the roundtable. We will try to get, I don't know, if anybody wants to call, join the green room so I can get an idea how many calls we have. But I know we have emails tonight, so I'm going to get to it. Bobby Blackwolf says, considering it for the basement. Oh, do it. It looks so good down there, Bobby, right outside of Blackwolf Theater. It'd be great, especially, keep some sodas in there and, maybe wine or beer if you're so inclined, that people can enjoy while they're having a movie. I love that. Love that. Pixel Paca says they said it can hold 12 cans. So it's probably a little bigger than just your typical Xbox Series X. Yeah, that makes sense. It's probably a little bigger. So anyway, your emails, participate at orangesaundradio.com. And I feel like for weeks and weeks on the show, I've said no emails, no emails, no emails. And now we got
three.
A few. Yeah, we got a few. Let's get to it. Dark Sakura.
First one's a little long. Okay. Hello, LR. I was catching up on slightly out of date episodes and I figured I'd drop a line, but since I can't fit a fishing line in here, an email will happen instead. Womp. During the October 3rd episode, there was a bit of confusion regarding two games, Panel de Pon and Puzzle de Pon. The confusion is totally understandable. I didn't realize it at the time I was listening, but both games were actually released in Japan during the same year, 1995. With such similar games and release dates, it's no wonder they're easy to confuse. Amazingly, despite its undoubtedly low distribution for the U.S., Puzzle de Pon, the first puzzle bobble-style game ever released by Visco for Neo Geo, came out in America first before anyone had ever played Tetris Attack. The game that many of us are familiar with, Tetris Attack, was the North American rebranding of Panel de Pon, which actually released for SNES the following year, 1996, which is this. that I just showed up on cam for those who are watching live. But the truly most astounding fact about both games is that according to the OLR fandom page, neither one has been featured as an OLR Classic Game of the Week. As a fan of both games, I would love to see both or one of them honored sometime in the future. Well, if wishes were fishes. Anyway.
Dark Sakura will consider your request and get back to you in an appropriate time frame when she feels is appropriate.
Which will be at least a couple time. Weeks. There was something Rob mentioned during the same episode that I found to be pretty funny. He said he'd been to round one and played the latest version of Beatmania 2DX 28 Beastrover. Well, guess what? As of October 13th, there was no longer the latest version. Beatmania 2DX 29 Cast Hour is available. So sorry, Rob. You have not, in fact, played the latest version. Lol.
I think somebody called that out live in chat or on Twitter or something. Yeah, so it's I'm still waiting for that round one out in Roseville nearby. When Misty was here, I don't think I brought this up on the show. Good, longtime fan of the show, super fan Misty OLR was out here last weekend, and she and I went on a she wanted in and out because of course East Coasters when they come visit they want in and out. So we went, but I was like, well, we have time. So you didn't say which In-N-Out. So I'm taking you to the In-N-Out by Golfland. So we drove all the way out to that one. And then I was like, while we're out here, let's point and laugh at Golfland. So we did that. And then I said, let's go to the mall because I want to see how far along the round one construction is. Sadly, it doesn't look like it's quite done yet. The movie theater looks like it'll open first.
Yeah, they had
the poster frames out.
They have the movie theater says coming 2021 and round one says coming 2022. So it's not going to be this year.
By that time, yeah. 30th style will be out. Anyway.
I was peeking in there too. Cause we just went to the mall this week and I was peeking in, cause they had the doors open to see the construction and it's all empty in there. Like, I don't think they're anywhere close to opening.
Oh, wow. All right. Anyhow. Sorry, Dark Sakura. You may continue.
Okay. I'll leave you all with this. I have decided for the second year in a row to do a charity Twitch stream around my birthday in mid-November, during which I attempt the Ohio DDR Max 300 birthday challenge. Basically, you have to clear Max 300 as many times as your age, with at least half of those being on the hardest difficulty you can pass. So for me this year, that means 42 times, 21 of them on expert. Exact date, charity, and other details to be announced later, but last year I supported Feeding America, and most likely I'll be doing that again. I hope that some of you will join me, as long as you can stand listening to the same song 42 times. I promise I'll make it as interesting as I possibly can. Thanks as usual for the show, and have a great week. YYR.
I figured it had to be YYR. Good luck. I will not be joining you in participating, but I will join if you're streaming or whatever. I'll happily join you to say hello. So and cheer you on because that sounds like a heart attack for me. But I love that for you. And I hope you're able, don't push yourself. Listen to your body. If your body says stop. That's going to be my dad moment there for somebody who's going to be a year younger than me. All right. But good luck with it. And yay for charity.
Next email real fast. Hello, OLR. Last week, Rob mentioned having some comfort issues when playing Metroid Dread. I was wondering if you've been using the Switch Pro controller when you play it. I just beat the game over the weekend, and at one point I switched to handheld mode and played most of the Joy-Cons, and yeah, it didn't feel comfy with Metroid since it's a lot of usage of the triggers. It's a night and day difference to play that game using a Pro controller. Anyways, I hope you are enjoying it. Fusion is my favorite 2D Metroid, but this game might be even better for me. Now I'm just looking forward to a successor to one of my favorite games ever made, Metroid Prime. Keep on playing, Garth Wolf.
Well, you probably heard it early in the show, but I am using a Pro Controller, specifically the Splatoon with the green and pink on the bottom. And you can go, my personal channel doesn't have the videos, so you go right to the end of the last stream and you can kind of see when I'm like, kind of hurting and I explain it a little more what I'm going through. That's very ironic because Shane, who's still in chat, so correct me if I'm wrong, played the game with those regular Joy-Con controllers, but they were plugged. I think he just played the Switch in portable most of it. So they're just kind of plugged in there. And he, as he said, he didn't have any problems. So I think it really depends on the person. It sounds like, And let's be real, probably partially the age in my case. Who knows? Anyway, I'm favorable to the game. It just I had to shift my mindset a little bit. It wasn't what I was expecting at first, but I appreciate what it's trying to do. Again, the controller thing is just that red flag emoji meme. That's all. Anyhow, that's all I have to say.
All right, last email.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, all. To be a tad different with this email compared to my previous ones, I figured that I would provide answers to questions that folks may have regarding gaming after a stroke, but for whatever reasons haven't been asked. I kind of know already, but... Well, what it's like trying to game now that I've had a stroke compared to before? Well, it's a lot harder, seeing as I only have the use of my left hand. Some games can easily be played one-handed, like some pinball games, Magic and Diablo. Other games, like first-person shooters and fighting games, I haven't figured out a way to play them effectively yet. It's incredibly frustrating. Is it possible? I don't know. Maybe. Any game that can be played with a mouse only or can be played with rebound keys are doable. If anyone wants additional info, feel free to ask in chat. Tangentially, tonight might be my last stream for a while. I'm moving in the morning, and I don't know if I don't. What's a NRE? Place has internet. So, yeah, I'll ask. No one really.
Again, sorry you're going through that, but yeah. And the moving and everything. Good luck with the move. Moving is a pain, but good luck with all that. We're not going to be here next week anyway, so it gives you 2 weeks to find a Wi-Fi to steal. So I hope that works out in your favor, for what that is worth.
I think you meant for streaming.
Oh, well, yeah, just to get a Wi-Fi connection to stream the show.
Hopefully. To do his streaming, I think.
Oh. Yeah. That might be difficult, for sure.
Yeah.
So, all right. But thanks for the email nonetheless. And I'm always like to hear from gamers' perspectives from their shoes. You know, we've heard from, yeah, over the years, gamers in other countries who it's not as easy to buy video games. We've heard from gamers who are blind and, you know, have faced those type of challenges, and we get to hear about some of those types of workarounds. I always like to kind of hear from gamers that make us kind of stop and think and kind of go like, oh, this is, you know, gaming is for everyone, right? So I kind of like to hear like how some people, the lengths that they'll go to make sure that they get the gaming experiences. I think that's a good thing for us all to be aware of, too.
So. I still say look for Switch controls, like neck Switch. Because they make those for quadriplegics.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people who are like Doom masters, mm-hmm, and play with their neck only.
She-Hulk in chat reminding us Microsoft has a great controller for that as well. So that's a great call out, too. So.
Well, and I think that any Apple product comes with Switch control built in.
Cool.
So.
All right. I didn't check to see if we had a green room. Okay, we don't have any callers that want to call in tonight. But I think we're at about 8:30, which is usually when we'll be wrapping up anyway. The podcast is going to seem a little smaller, but that's because, of course, we got a late start tonight. We didn't start till 6:30 because of the power outage. So thanks for that. Yep. Let me quickly, though, before we completely wrap up tonight, check in with any last-minute stories, Loki.
Just that Sony has threatened dBrand with legal action because they were offering those alternative black faceplates for the PlayStation 5. And while dBrand did mention that the texture that were on those faceplates was familiar but legally distinct, apparently it wasn't as legally distinct as they thought. So, yeah, those have been taken down. And they made a shit post about it on Reddit instead of, you know, responding to Sony.
Obi-Wan Jabroni in chat says, I have those plates. How do you like them? Was it worth it? Legit curious. I don't even have PlayStation 5 still. It's probably not going to happen this holiday. But probably next summer I'll end up getting one. That's about the right time frame. So, all right. Anything else, Loki?
Nope, that's it.
All right. Well, then let me take an opportunity to thank everybody for supporting Orange Lounge Radio and coming out. Whether you were listening live here on Sunday night and stuck through the power outage and all that stuff to actually be here live with us tonight, I appreciate that. Thank you. Thanks to my host for being patient. Thanks to Bobby Blackwell for vamping in the face of that silly power outage. I did get a nice reply from social media person for the power company here. Yeah, they said, hope you were able to do your show. Sorry, we're working to get it done or something like that. So, anyway.
You know, with, at least with them, like with Smud, like I have to say that their customer service has actually been pretty great, because we've had it before where they will call me when the power is out. They're like, hey, we know that your power is out, you know, like, and I wasn't even home. I was like, oh, okay. It's going to be restored at this time, you know. So they preemptively call, whereas like if Comcast was out, they'd be just like, we don't exist.
I don't have a problem with the power company here. They are pretty good. I'm very happy with who we have compared to the alternative that the rest of the state has. Most of the rest of the state has. And I'll send a nice reply to their social media person. It's just frustrating that the power was out on Monday and then the power was out again right before OLR. Like, it just, we had to replace food in the fridge because we lost power for 12 hours. So yeah, anyway. But I get that the wind dictated that, not necessarily the power company. It is what it is. All right. I was going to give the rest of my spiel, but Dark Soccer, I know you need a little extra time to prepare for your stream, so I thought I'd let you go ahead and give your exit now, and then I'll give the rest of the spiel and sign off for the night. So, Dark Soccer, any final thoughts?
I do have certain people that I would like to share my community with next week while I am gone. So I will be listing them and letting people know, but they're people who I trust to take good care of y'all.
All right.
And stay tuned for some Dead by Daylight, because I have a vendetta.
All right.
I have to just argue against MMR before Barista Witch comes out on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
What's her name? Michaela? Like, that's such a post-millennial name.
I thought you liked Michaela because she is you.
I do. She is me. Don't get me wrong, but people are going to be toxic as shit with her.
I know.
And her nickname now in all the circles anyway is Barista Witch. So, because that's right. Exactly what she is. She is a barista and a witch.
All right. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
All right. See you in the cloud.
Take care. In the fog. All right. Let me give the rest of my spiel here, and then we'll get around to final thoughts. First off, thank you guys so much for downloading or listening to our podcast live tonight. If you enjoyed what you heard here at OLR, tell a friend or two, help us spread the word. We are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we need the voices here to get out on air. To have more voices. We have a shop if you're interested in that, vognetwork.com/shop. If you would like to pick up some OLR merchandise or possibly some VOG Network merchandise, a Bobby Blackwolf mug, whatever tickles your fancy, check that out over vognetwork.com/shop. Otherwise, we'll be back in 2 weeks. We will not be here next week. Dark Sakura talked about it at the beginning of the show. She has some personal issues she's going to tend to in the place where she grew up. And I'm going to Disneyland. So two very different reasons to not be here. Loki will be using next. What are you going to do next week with a week off, Loki? You going to
play Minecraft?
I was going to say play Minecraft, work on videos, something like that.
Probably, yeah.
You could do a stream. I bet Bobby would pass the viewers to you. Think about it.
I could do a stream. That is a possibility.
DDR in the garage might work. We'll see.
I haven't played DDR in a while. I was thinking about it the other day, too. But you should get
some inspiration from that YYR email.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll see.
We'll see. All right. Let's see. So we'll be back in 2 weeks. So Loki, we won't see you for 3 weeks because you're not going to be here on Halloween night, because obviously you have children and you're obligated to take the children trick or treating. So I totally understand that. But good luck with all your Minecraft production. And I'm excited for you with all these updates and all that stuff. Any final thoughts for our listeners tonight?
No, just hoping to have another video out this week. Lots of updates to my base I'm doing. It's all the Ninjago, Lego Ninjago theme. So I've been basing my first section off of the actual official Lego Ninjago city set, and it looks pretty awesome.
Awesome. My final thought, I'll plug my channel over twitch.tv/Rob Roberts. I've been pretty good for 2 weeks now. Like, I've gotten in at least 3 streams a week after. I have hit one of the milestones for partner, finally. I've been, like, doing this for a long time. And no, it's not the viewer one. That's clearly the hardest one to get. But I have done 12 different streams in the past month. So follow me over at twitch.tv/Rob Roberts. I'm really close to 500 followers. That's kind of a landmark. So, yeah, I would appreciate that. But it's all good either way. We'll see you back here at VOG Network in 2 weeks. Bobby will be here next week, though. So, you know, come here at your usual time at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern, and he'll be here to entertain. He can do another jumbo show potentially next week. So there is that. That's it. Have a great week. Happy gaming. Happy Halloween. We'll be back on Halloween night. Happy Rocky Horror Season to my friends who are participating with that and getting their first show back like I am in a very long time. That is going to be awesome. And be safe out there. Make good choices. Wear your mask. Get vaccinated. That's it, everybody. Have a great night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.